Hey everyone, welcome to episode 68 of Sits and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined with Krista. How are you today, Krista?
I am not too bad. Not too bad.
That is good to hear.
Actually, I'm sorry, that's a bold-faced lie. I need the Wolves to do something in the goddamn transfer window. I need them to buy some players. My anxiety can't take this.
Who did we lose? We've lost Doherty so far, right?
The only player we've lost permanently is Doherty. We sent Morgan Gibbs-White out on loan.
Okay.
But yeah.
I like him in the video game I'm playing. I don't think I've actually seen him play in real life before. But like
Morgan Gibbs-White?
Yeah, he came off the bench and he scored a goal for me. So
he's absolutely hype in the FIFA games. He is hype in the FIFA games. Unfortunately for him, it's not quite working out in reality just yet for him. This year he barely played, so the fact that you have not actually seen him play isn't surprising to me because he's barely played at all this season due to a back injury that actually kept him out for like almost the entire season, and then he was starting to get healthy right again in like February. And in March, he was finally starting to like appear on the bench after, you know, getting back up to match fitness in some U23 matches. And then lockdown happened, and then he barely played in lockdown. So. Yeah.
And then on the game, I can't buy Adama a goal to save his life. Like,
the glow up for him going into FIFA 21 from this year is probably going to be incredible. And I, for one, am so excited because I absolutely love Adama Traore. He is one of my favorite players.
I'm getting his jersey for Christmas. I'm getting him and Raul's jersey for Christmas. And you would put it in my head that like maybe they'll be gone like in January.
I'm just a pessimist, and I do not foresee. I think if we keep them, barring, you know, anything absolutely insane, like a terrible run of form or an offer we couldn't refuse, I don't foresee us selling any key starting 11 players at a January transfer window. January transfer windows are also almost incredibly difficult to do any massive deals in, so I think you would be safe.
Well, I've thought about it, and like even if I got their shirts for Christmas and they were gone the next month, like they're my two favorite.
They still
players.
Wore them.
Yeah, and they're my two favorite players from like the year I started watching. Like,
exactly.
The Wolves. So I'm satisfied with that.
Like, so the point to like for you to understand this is. The very first year, so in the 2018 season, when Wolves first got back to the Premier League, I was super excited. And I remember I told my cousin, I was like, I pre-ordered the new home kit. This was before we even saw what they were going to look like. I had my name on a fucking waiting list. And he was like, oh, did you get a blank one? I said, no, I got a Ruben Neves one. And he goes, cousin, he's like, Ruben Neves might be gone this summer. Like, he went to the championship. He was incredible. He helped you guys get promoted. Like, it's likely he's going to get sold. And I told my cousin, and I was like, and he's like, so then what? And I was like, I don't care. And he was like, well, then you're going to have a jersey of a player that really never wore it. I was like, yeah, but it's also the player that made me a Wolves fan. I was like, and the first jersey that they go back to that they're wearing back in the Premier League. I was like, so regardless if he doesn't wear it or not, like, it's still awesome. And then I ended up getting a grease stain on the front of it a couple months later, and I ended up buying the exact same jersey again. So now the one with the grease stain actually hangs in my cube. So so you see Neves in the number 8 on the back. It's hanging, so you don't see, obviously see the grease stain. But yeah, I have a Wolves jersey hanging in my cube at work.
Nice.
Along with a lot of other Wolves shit.
Makes sense, because you're a giant Wolves fan. I have one Wolves thing. I have one Raul t-shirt, and that's it.
You do.
One day I will have more.
But I know what I'm going to get you for Christmas, so it's all... Don't worry.
Okay.
It's Wolves related.
Okay. All right, so we've got some stuff to talk about today. Before we start talking about Star Wars, we wanted to just say a couple things about Chadwick Boseman, whom we lost last week. We're recording this on Wednesday, so when we post this on Friday, we will have been sitting with this for a week. And I gotta say, this was shocking. Of all the celebrity deaths that I've experienced, this one hit the hardest. I remember when you texted me on Friday and said Chadwick Boseman passed away. My first thought was, I know exactly who Chadwick Boseman was. My second thought was, wait, he's too young. She can't mean him. And then I immediately thought, well, this has to be a hoax. I went on Twitter and I saw that it was his official Twitter account that tweeted out the news. And then 43 years old and passed away from colon cancer. That just, man, I don't even know what to say.
It's incredibly heartbreaking.
It is.
And to think, in general, you take the cancer away, Chadwick Boseman was a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
For everything that we knew, Chadwick Boseman was a good person, a genuinely good person. And then to know, on top of all of this, this guy who went and visited St. Jude's hospitals on almost a regular basis and was so giving and helpful to, you know, people who are sick and constantly being a symbol of strength and hope for them, to know, like, at the same time, like, that, you know, he was suffering himself with it. And I hate saying this because I do not want to, like, to glorify it or to, you know, think that this is, or imply that this is, you know, more people should fight through cancer or more people should fight through disabilities and things like that. That's not at all what I'm saying. The amount of strength that that man must have to have done all of that. And I'm not talking just the physical, like getting absolutely ripped to play, you know, the Black Panther and stuff like that. But like the mental fortitude for it all, because he also wasn't playing easy roles. I mean, he played some absolute iconic roles.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like just in pop culture, but like also in history too. I mean, with Jackie Robinson and
Thurgood Marshall
and
James Brown.
Thank you. I was drawing massive blanks. I'm terrible with names.
It's okay.
And he did so much, I feel, you know, in his short career, and it is a shame that we and the world are going to be deprived of more of Chadwick Boseman, because he was a beautiful human being.
He was, and just the way he used his voice for the causes that he believed in, and the way he lent his voice and his celebrity to like the Black Lives Matter movement.
It was
inspiring. It's an inspiring thing to see. And I mean, the world lost a great, great man last week. And then just to hear all of like his castmates and like the directors who directed him talk about him. Like it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking to hear like the words that they had for him.
I believe it was who played his mother? She's and I feel terrible for not remembering.
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Her post on him.
When he was like her escort when she was speaking at Howard University.
Howard University. That to me, that was heartbreaking. So was bald, shaved head. Also in The Walking Dead. Plays my favorite character in The Walking Dead.
Danai Gurira.
Yes. Hers was also a wonderful post, and I'm sad I haven't seen Lupita Nyong'o's, but I can only imagine if she made one. I can only imagine because I know they were very close just from watching. Because I loved that cast for Black Panther, so I watched a lot of interviews and like just behind the scenes stuff with them because it just when you're depressed. Sometimes seeing other people happy and like certain people happy, it just makes you happy. And seeing like they always, you know, Michael B. Jordan and everybody, they just always seemed like they were genuinely enjoyed each other and were having a good time. So like it kind of made me like feel slightly warm inside in my cold, dead heart.
So I don't really have anything else to say except I will miss not only seeing him perform on screen, but I will miss seeing what he had to give to the world and what he gave to the world every chance he got. So, we're going to talk about Star Wars now, and we're going to talk about the John Boyega interview that he gave to GQ magazine.
Before we go any further, because I think we just talked about this with, you know, Chadwick Boseman and how he was a very active and, you know, the world. And he spoke his mind about, you know, politics and, I mean, most recently. And I hated that people immediately were like, this was his final tweet. But his final tweet was, you know, him supporting Kamala Harris. John Boyega, he is really becoming a force to be reckoned with.
It was impossible to read this article and not think about Chadwick Boseman. And just like how John Boyega is also using his voice in a different way. Like I'm not
in a different way. Yes, a very different way. I think John Boyega is being much more outspoken and direct, I think, than a lot of other actors and you know famous people are when it comes to stuff like this. Like I don't know if I remember. Now, this could be me just having a horrible memory because I do have a horrible memory. I don't remember the last time you had a major film franchise have one of its, you know, main actors from that franchise so shortly after, mind you, their film run was over. Because a lot of time has not passed. So shortly after, you know, their final film ran, who comes out and makes the statement, I'm the only cast member whose experience in Star Wars was based on their race. And he's not wrong. Who, I mean, other than you, do you have, I can't remember his name, the guy who played Cyborg in Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
You do have what he said about Josh Whedon? No.
Yeah, Josh Whedon.
Josh Whedon. And that's not to discount that at all, but, like, that was very much about Josh Whedon.
Right.
John Boyega is very calling out, not just, you know, he's calling out Disney, he's calling out everybody, and rightfully so.
Right. I think a lot of that has to do with the way Hollywood probably treated people of color and characters of color in the past, and the not so distant past. You take a character like Cyborg, like 10 years ago, like he would have been whitewashed.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, I think it feels so new to have, like, an actor come out and say, you know, he was mistreated, like, because of his race, because I just sadly think that we don't have very many examples of characters of color in, like, superhero films. The only one I can think of would be, like, Wesley Snipes in Blade. And
that might have been before my time.
It was in the 90s and the early 2000s. It wasn't. They were rated R movies. Your parents probably didn't want
that. Yeah, I wasn't going to be watching that. My parents very much were like, PG-13 until you are 17. Actually, that's a lie. I was allowed to watch R shit at like 16.
Wow.
But yeah.
I had a completely different experience. But yeah, like, between...
That doesn't,
like,
mean I didn't, but I just wasn't actively looking to watch.
Yeah. But, Blade. Like, after, like, the Blade films of the 90s and early 2000s, like, I can't think of a black superhero until... Well, we had Storm in the X-Men movies. And then...
Yeah, but even some of her stuff, looking back at it, was like... kind of relegated her to like the back, like,
yeah,
in my opinion, based on the comics, from what I've seen, I feel like Storm probably should have had a much larger role in the X-Men films, and instead she was kind of like relegated much more to the peripheral.
They also Americanized her.
Yes,
because in the comics too. I believe she's Nigerian.
Yes.
And
they also picked, in no shade to Halle Berry or whatsoever, a lighter skinned
yes
actress as well.
So after those two, I can't think of anyone until Anthony Mackie as Falcon.
I mean, you have Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, you do.
You not necessarily superhero, but in a science fiction, comic-y, super, you know what
I know
fans.
What you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah.
In that vein of film.
Yeah. And I don't know what the fan reaction was to any of those characters, because...
Pre-social media.
Like, we had message boards that, like, you can go onto and, like, interact with fans. But, like, other than that, like, yeah, pre-social media, I don't know what the fan reaction was. So, like, you know, it's a lot more prevalent with actors like John Boyega. And I think, I mean, he's absolutely right. He is the only actor in, like, the sequel trilogy who's had a reaction to his character based on race, because, like, I don't even think the first thing I thought when I read that was, like, I thought of Kelly Marie Tran, but, like, I can't remember, like, anyone, like, bashing her, like, specifically for race. Like, I think that was, like, a very, like, gender specific, like, backlash to her.
It definitely was, I think, in part racially tinged at times.
I'm sure it was. Like, I don't want to, like, dismiss that.
Because, I mean, let's be honest here. Daisy Ridley got so much hate, she went off of social media as well.
Right.
So, the hate was there, yes. But I think Kelly Marie Tran was also targeted for a lot of things in regards to her race. I think a lot of people use, like, dog whistle stuff, things like that. with her, from what I can recall.
I mean, okay, so there were, I mean, there were definitely people who used, like, racial derogatory terms towards Kelly Marie Tran. I don't think that's what he's talking about, though. Like, I think he's saying, like, he's the only character that people said, like, you cannot have a black Jedi.
Oh, yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
Which was stupid, because we already had a black Jedi.
And then, like, you say that, and those people are like, well, we can't have a black Jedi as your main character.
And then I just want to look at them and say, would you say no to a Mace Windu standalone film? No.
No, no, no one in their right mind would say no to a Mace
Windu. So that is, that is my counter argument right there. So
I'm sure, like, trying to put myself in John Boyega's place, I would be, like, really pissed off if I had to go, if I went through all of that. And, like, we're not even, like, getting into, like, the Last Jedi backlash and, like, any of the feelings towards, like, the Rise of Skywalker. Like, I'm still talking about, like, pre, like, Force Awakens release, like, just the Force Awakens, like, marketing campaign.
The post, yes.
Yeah,
the,
like,
marketing,
I sent you those,
campaign.
I would be, if I were him, I would be so pissed off if Disney, if I went through all of that, and then, like, in the end, I didn't even get to be the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, Disney basically, like, Lucasfilm basically, they, not basically, they literally gave us a marketing campaign that
where
said,
Finn is the Jedi.
Yeah, this is your Jedi. Like, they had film, like, every film poster, he's holding a lightsaber. In, I remember, like, in the first or second trailer, you had the voiceover from Return of the Jedi where Luke says, like, my father has it, I have it, and you have it. And then, like, when he says you have it, the camera, like, very explicitly is on Finn.
Like, yes.
Everything said, like, this is your Jedi. And, like,
no, because I remember when these came out, I remember being on Twitter and, like, tweeting about, like, how dope it was going to be. Like, it looks like that we were going to have, like, a black male protagonist, like, a black male protagonist, and he's going to be the Jedi, and it was super dope. I was all for it. But yeah, there was everything Disney set up in that marketing campaign was Finn was going to be the Jedi. Finn was going to be the Jedi. And then you get on the planet and you immediately meet Rey, and it's like, oh. Huh. Something seems off.
Which, I mean, like, obviously, like, it's cool that we got to have, like, a woman as a Jedi main character. Like, we're happy about that. But, like, it would have been, there's no reason why Finn could not also have been a Jedi from the beginning, not getting shoehorned in at the end.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to criticize how Lucasfilm handled, like, other, like, people of color in the films. He mentions Naomi Ackie, who plays Janna in Rise of Skywalker. He does mention Kelly Marie Tran. He mentions Oscar Isaacs, who he refers to as a brother from Guatemala. So, like, yeah, he's, I like that he's not just speaking for himself. Like, he is, like, he's supporting, like, his other cast members in these comments, because he did, like, I don't remember, I think, was it this year or, like, late last year, where he got criticism for a misconstrued comment he made about, like, Kelly Marie Tran. Like, people thought that he was saying that, like, Kelly Marie Tran was weak for, like, her reaction to the backlash, but, like, really he was talking about, like, himself, not her.
Yes. Yes, I believe you are correct. I do agree. I do like that, is that he, you know, he is, you know, stating that he feels he's seen it with, you know, his other co-stars who are people of color. And I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but he's right when he says they knew what to do with Daisy Ridley. They knew what to do with Adam Driver.
And then when it came to Kelly Marie Tran and John Boyega, you know fuck all.
Yeah. I mean, I know as much as everybody complains that, yes, I don't have an issue with Kylo Ren's storyline in The Rise of Skywalker by any means, but people do, and they argue it doesn't make sense. They argue, you know, Rey, you can... I think the only thing that you can maybe argue with Rey that they didn't know what to do with was her lineage.
Yeah, no one can argue that they didn't know what to do with her lineage.
But they knew what to do with her character. Rey was always going to become the next, you know, the next first Jedi going forward. Like, she was going to restart the Jedi. Whatever it was in whatever capacity, that was always going to be her endgame once they revealed that she was indeed a Jedi. But yeah. Like, shit, Kelly Marie Tran got completely axed, essentially, from Rise of Skywalker, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible.
My favorite quote, I think, from this is, "But what I would say to Disney is do not bring out a black character, market them to be much more important in the franchise than they are, and then have them push to the side. It's not good. I'll straight up say it."
Yeah.
And you know what? This is... I think it's very brave of him to say these things. Because, like, Disney is big. Disney is powerful. Disney owns, like, multiple studios. Like, this could, like... I sincerely hope it doesn't, but, like, this could affect, like, his ability to work in the future. And, but he's saying things that need to be said, and I think it's incredibly brave of him to do that.
Sorry, I remember reading something in the article, and I'm trying to find it really quick, and it's just, it's a wild thing to think of.
I'm glad I texted you these really important quotes because I just totally accidentally deleted them from my notes app.
What?
I said, I'm glad I texted you a bunch of like quotes because I totally just deleted them from my notes app on my phone. While you're looking for that.
To the notes app. Okay, I found it.
Okay, go ahead.
So in it, he's talking, you know, about black men and, you know, growing their hair out and, you know, style and controlling his appearance and everything. Stating that, you know, I'm trying to figure out a good way. The lack of control over his appearance during like the year of 2017 started to like make him question if this was really what he wanted to do, because it's like, how do you exist on your own terms in an industry generally built to white standards and white norms? And it said, you know, he noticed while he was doing press for The Force Awakens, he noticed a stylist he'd hired when he started He continued to notice the stylist when he hired when he first started doing press, cringing at certain clothes I wanted to go for. The hairdresser, who had no experience working with hair like his, but still had the guts to pretend, and he decided that he could no longer grin and bear it like a grateful competition winner. During the press of The Force Awakens, I went along with it, he notes, and obviously at the time I was very genuinely happy to be a part of it. But my dad always tells me one thing: don't overpay with respect. You can respect, but sometimes you'll be overpaying and selling yourself short.
Sorry, that whole story, that whole part left me speechless.
None of it is surprising, but you wouldn't, like...
I don't know what to say about it because I can't, I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like to kind of, like, to live, like, in a way that, like, you can't feel like you can be yourself because obviously, like, we live in a society that allows me to be comfortable because, like, I am who I am. Like, I, no one's gonna, like, look at, like, the clothes I wear and cringe because, like, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Like, I think it's one of those things where it's, like, John Boyega has a distinct style, and it's a style where he, you know, is very open that he likes to incorporate, you know, Nigerian style and African,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Embrace his African heritage and roots very much in his style. And, like, just, like, the photo, like, the way he was dressed, and, I mean, you see it a ton anyways, but, like, if you follow him on Instagram and everything, but, like, he has a very distinct style. It's vibrant. It is, you know, he wants to convey things with how he looks and the fact, like, to who he is and, you know, stuff like that. And the fact that he felt he couldn't make those choices or be truly be, like, be himself while on that goddamn speech impediments. It's sad. It's sad.
It's incredibly sad.
And, like, the article kind of notes in it as well as, like, him growing his hair now and, you know, and braids and all that kind of stuff is basically, essentially, as I said, like, almost like an act of rebellion.
Yeah. And it compared, the article, like, compared, like, him growing his hair out to giving him kind of like a Samson-like power.
Yeah.
Over himself. I'm just...
Like, the fact that, you know, he goes on and says, like, nobody else in the Star Wars cast had people saying they would boycott the movie because of them. Nobody... Like, this is great. I'm just going to read the whole quote because it honestly is great.
Yeah.
So he states, "I'm the only cast member who had their own unique experience of that franchise based on their race. Let's just leave it at that. It makes you angry with a process like that. It makes you much more militant. Changes you because you realize I got given this opportunity, but I'm in an industry that wasn't even ready for me. Nobody else in the cast had people saying they were going to boycott the movie because they were in it. Nobody else had the uproar and death threats sent to their Instagram DMs and social media saying black this and black that and you shouldn't be a stormtrooper. Nobody else had that experience, but yet people are surprised that I'm this way. That's my frustration." And I think you can see that because we've now reached the point where John Boyega, on at least on Twitter, he claps back. If you come for him, you best be prepared.
Oh yeah, and you
and
know,
I support it 100% because nobody should have to put up with the shit that he has to put up with.
And you could, I mean, and he talks about, like, his frustration and his anger, and yeah, like, you can definitely see it on. You can see it on, like, social media because you can tell from his clapbacks that he's been holding this shit in for 6 years now. Because, like, as soon as, like, The Rise of Skywalker hit theaters and he had fulfilled his obligation to Disney, like, it was no fucks given anymore. like he clapped back at anyone. I remember he made that like video on Instagram where like he named names of Twitter users that were like throwing like racist shit his way.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was great to see him do that. It was great to see him feel like empowered to stand up for himself like that. He's one hell of an impressive guy, and I can't wait to see what he does next. Not just like professionally in his career. Like, I can't wait to see what he does as a person and how he uses his voice. The article talked about the impromptu speech he gave in, I think it was in London, at a Black Lives Matter protest, where he got up on this step ladder and addressed the crowd with a bullhorn. And it was just, I remember watching that, and it was powerful, and it was raw, and it was, I didn't realize it like the first time I was watching the video, but like it was off the cuff. Like he wasn't planning on speaking. It just happened. And I can't wait to see him do more stuff like that going forward.
Oh, I did not know this, but apparently he doesn't drink.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the article. I didn't know that either.
He does not drink. I'm trying to... He is a part of... I forget what... of what it is, but he is doing a production company, or he is, I can't remember what it is, but he's a part of some type of organization that is helping to push and empower Black and African stories being made and told by, you know, Black and African people, and not being, you know, mass produced by, you know, whites. Because Lord knows the world needs a little less Caucasian.
I agree.
But he's doing something like that, and I can't remember, because he has a bunch of upcoming stuff with it that he's a part of. And I'm really excited to see what he's doing with that.
Well, the movie that he's working on now that the article talked about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I found it. I apologize. He signed a deal with Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he signs a deal with Netflix to develop films focusing on African content. He and his Upper Room Productions have signed on to produce non-English films that will focus on West and East Africa. Currently, three features are included in the multi-year deal, two from Nigeria and one from Egypt. The company stated that the indie production house founded by Boyega will develop films based on stories, cast, crews, characters, literary properties, mythology, screenplays, and or other elements in or around African countries. I'm excited for it, honestly.
Oh yeah.
So like he's already starting to throw his weight around in the world, you know, in the industry, and I'm excited for it, because I think as he only gets older, and you know, the bigger he becomes, the more.
Yeah, he's doing this like just global at the age reach. Of 28. Like that's.
Yeah, like he's got a long way to go, and I'm excited to see what he has to offer.
Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else to say about this?
No.
All right. I don't have much to say about this, but we found out today that The Mandalorian is coming out on October 30th.
Baby Yoda returns.
Baby Yoda returns, yes.
You know who else returns?
Mando?
Ahsoka.
I cannot wait to see, like, the first trailer. I hope, like, Ahsoka is in it.
Oh, I highly doubt she'll be in it. They're gonna make us wait. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, you figure the first trailer is probably gonna be a teaser trailer, so no one will be in it. And then, I just want Baby Yoda. Just give me, like, a minute and a half of just, like, Baby
Yoda. It's just gonna be... the screen. It's just gonna be ships flying, and then at the end, it's gonna cut to Baby Yoda sitting in the cockpit with the little silver ball.
Now that, like, yeah, I can't wait to see how they market Baby Yoda now that they don't have to, like, preserve that surprise.
I hope they don't overdo it, though. Like, we all love Baby Yoda, but I don't want him to become Jar Jar.
I mean,
I don't see it happening because Dave Filoni, but still.
I gotta say, like, I don't know what, like, my oversaturation point is with Baby Yoda, but
I don't either, but I don't want to know it.
If I haven't hit it yet, like, I don't, maybe there isn't one with this particular character.
Oh, God, he's so fantastic.
Did you just look at the Baby Yoda?
I did, but he's hidden.
He's behind the pillows. Yeah, he's giving you a look right now, like, you can't get tired of me.
Oh, he's fantastic.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sits Giggles Pod. And Krista, where can people follow you at?
I'm also on Twitter. Motherfucker. Sorry, my cat just was an asshole. I'm also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spreaker.com. Thank you for listening. Bye.